Protests in Greece, divisions between France and Germany, and celebrations in Libya.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll get the latest on this morning's two big international stories that will impact the United States. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are mixed right now. The Dow up 31 points, about 0.3% at 11,536. The Nasdaq down 0.2%, and the S&P 500 up 0.2%. The Labor Department said this morning that the number of people filing for first-time unemployment benefits in this country dropped by 6,000 last week to 403,000, which is still quite high. And we got earnings this morning from Southwest Airlines. The company reported a loss in part because it bought fuel in advance when oil prices were very high. Now let's get to the news coming in out of Libya. Reports are coming in that Muammar Gaddafi has been killed by revolutionary forces and perhaps a NATO airstrike near the town of Sirte. The Obama administration is not yet confirming those reports. For more, let's talk with Andrew Walker, economics correspondent for the BBC, who is with us from London, and our regular Morning Open guest, Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial in Chicago. She's with us every Thursday. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Andrew, first to you on this Libya story. If these reports are true that Gaddafi has been killed, how does it change the dynamic economically?
I think the key question is this. Does it bring any closer the day when Libya will achieve political stability? If it does, then that's obviously enormously helpful for the great task of rebuilding Libya's damaged infrastructure and, in particular, getting its critical oil and gas industry going at something like full speed once again. And for foreigners who might want to have a particular role, particularly in the energy sector, that question of political stability is absolutely key.
All right, let's get to the other big story going on. This is a crucial week in the European debt crisis. They're taking final votes today on budget cuts in Athens. And of course, we're just days away from the expected release of the grand plan from European leaders to deal with the crisis. Diane Swonk, to you in Chicago, what's the significance of this moment?
Well, it's very important that we get some kind of plan, some kind of layout for Europe that's believable. And I do think that the political will is there. The question is, will they come up with enough for financial markets in the U.S. to really believe it? They've kind of been a day late and a euro short so far. And the early reports are certainly that they're not agreeing on much. In fact, even an early release of what the plan might be has all these fill-in-the-blanks because they can't agree on any of the blanks of what the plan might be.
Well, what if they don't agree? What if there is no deal? What's the impact here in the U.S., Diane?
Well, I still think they have some time, but the impact is certainly precarious because we're very worried about Europe. We're worried about a contagion in Europe. And if Europe can't get its act together, it could, you know, bring down the whole house of cards again and cause a panic that's self-fulfilling in terms of another panic in the U.S. And frankly, we don't want to find out where that ends because it very likely could be a self-fulfilling prophecy on recession. And we want to avoid that at all costs.
Andrew Walker, back to you. Is it possible that things could fall through with this deal on the European debt crisis? And if so, what happens next?
I don't think they'll fail to get anything at all. I would have thought that at the very least they'll agree something on trying to strengthen the banks. But other elements are undoubtedly very difficult for them to nail down. And they may well end up saying on certain key elements at least, look, we'll do whatever it takes to save the euro. But then they've said that before, haven't they?
Well, and Andrew, quickly, I mean, as you watch what's going on in Athens, do you think that the Greeks are going to hold up their end of the bargain here and get these cuts passed?
The government is certainly going to try its level best, but the politics, as you can see from the streets, are enormously difficult.
Andrew Walker, economics correspondent for the BBC, with us from London, and Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. and by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Microsoft will report quarterly earnings today. The company has been getting a bit more aggressive with Apple recently. It hopes to open up about 75 Apple-style retail stores in this country in the next few years. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
This Friday, the band The Black Keys is playing a ribbon cutting. Microsoft executives are hoping to create a little buzz around the opening of their newest retail store in Seattle. Jeff Rosters at Gartner Research, he says you could think of these stores as laboratories where Microsoft can study these weird creatures, its customers.
Understanding how your products are being used would make any profit or loss almost a rounding error.
In other words, these stores don't have to make money to be a success. If you want to know what a Microsoft store looks like, picture an Apple store and then put the staff in bright colored t-shirts. And there's good reason to imitate Apple. The night Steve Jobs died, I swung by an Apple store in Palo Alto. There was a little memorial outside. But the really striking thing was just how many people were inside shopping.
Right, and it's always that way.
Jeff Green's a retail analyst in Phoenix. He says Apple stores earn more than twice as much cash per square foot than any retail chain in the world.
Apple is a powerhouse.
Microsoft now has a dozen stores in the U.S., but the company's been quiet about how much money they're making. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, for the one percenters out there, the Neiman Marcus Christmas catalog is out, and listen to some of these items up for sale. For $75,000, you can buy an 18-foot yurt. That's a tent used by nomads. And this one has down pillows and a crystal chandelier. For $425,000, you can buy a flower show tour that'll take you to Switzerland, France, and the UK by private jet, of course. There's also a $5,000 Johnny Walker scotch tasting. I guess that's more of a stocking stuffer for that price. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
In a film about the financial crisis, you might expect a good guy, that'd be us, and a bad guy, the banks. But you think a little harder, the truth is a little more nuanced.
There actually is no pure evil. Each character is simply trying to act on the information that they have before them.
I'm Kai Rizdal, a Wall Street thriller, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.